on your part.
Yeah, and all the questions are going to be things that I think people want to know, or at least my athletes, like the whole next generation, they're fans of yours. Like, what would they want to know?
Right.
You know, they're going to find out that you're human.
Right.
Sort of. I'll do an intro and outro. I'll make fun of him for a little bit because he produces it and he also owns the company.
Oh, okay.
Other than that, Raven, nice to meet you.
Nice meeting you, too. Cool.
We're rolling.
All right. Here we go. Welcome to the On Track and Field podcast. I'm your host, JT Ayers. All things track and field related on trackandfield.com. I just said in the last podcast, go buy a high jump pit. Go buy batons. On Track and Field has everything you need at a good price. And sitting with me right now in Vegas, yeah, we're remote at Caesar's Palace. I got on a flight this morning and came here. It's wild. This is my life. But I'm sitting in front of Raven Rogers. I'm sitting one of the greatest to ever do it, and I'm talking to you about On Track and Field and RelayBatons.com. Just go to those websites right after this podcast. Listen to all the podcasts, and then you can go check those websites out. But Raven, American middle distance runner, specializes in the 800. Very specialized. You're incredible. And 4x4s on occasion, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. She's world medalist in 2019, Olympics, 2021 at Tokyo, 2016. She was in the trials, finished fifth, went to Oregon, won 5 NCAA titles, multiple school records. She's the real deal. It's so good to have you on the podcast. Thanks for joining me.
Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. So you're at University of Oregon. Your collegiate career was insane. Everyone was watching you do all these kind of things. Multiple records. I already said it. 5 NCAA championships. Now, how did that experience of like going through that get you ready to be a professional athlete?
Yeah. Well, since track is still very individual, I think that it still allowed me to focus in and have the structure that was necessary with all of the healthy environment and healthy competition to just put me in a place to just work towards my goals. I feel like that same discipline and that same joy and excitement is important. And the confidence too is all necessary to carry on to when you're a pro.
So what changed between like Oregon to being in the international stage? I mean, you kept getting better. Hmm. Not a lot of people do that. How come you kept getting better?
That's a great question. I don't know. I think just also staying healthy is important so that you can get better, but also making very intentional moves. And so once I graduated, I went to, I moved to Philadelphia and I trained with a bunch of other amazing 800 women. So I feel like that was a great adjustment period for me going into that group. And then now having moved back to Oregon in 2020, it was still a great situation where structure was there. So there's just been a lot of very intentional moves that have, with great coaches, that's contributed to me being able to continue to excel.
Sounds like there's a lot of luck involved, but I mean, you and I both know that's not usually the case. It's doing your homework, making sure you're doing the right thing. So you talk about staying healthy. What do you do to stay healthy? I mean, this is something, by the way, I'm asking as a coach because I want to make sure my athletes stay healthy too.
Right.
What are you doing that's like been so beneficial to stay healthy?
For me, I'm very much into self-care and that being something that's still very important. I feel like it's something that should be also taken just as, or being just as valued as, you know, showing up and still being competitive. So I value my life off of the track and actually having enjoyment and fulfillment and making sure that I'm healthy mentally as well as physically. That way, you know, I'm not so susceptible to all of the things that come along with track and field once you have to be in that kind of mode.
Yeah, because you're not just a track athlete, right? You're a human being too, right? So it's interesting to hear you say that because especially the 800, the mental aspect that goes into the race.
Yeah.
Some would argue hardest race there is, right? I mean, well, you would say that.
Yeah.
I have a deep respect for people that run the 8, especially at that level, and the speed to back it up because you're an incredible 4x4 leg. Do you like doing the relays? Is that something you always want to make sure you keep doing?
I enjoy them. Yeah, of course you do more of them when you're in college, but I actually do enjoy the relays. They're a lot of fun.
Yeah, a lot of gold medals when it comes to those relays.
Yeah.
How do you deal with the pressure? Like, what mentally do you do? Because there's a lot of talent out there, but they lose that mental aspect. You obviously have it. I mean, it's pretty evident watching you compete at that level. You're aggressive, and you're really, really strong-willed when you run, and it's really cool to watch you because it's almost like you take over the race. Is that something that you prepare yourself for? When you're on the line, you're overly confident. Are you thinking the night before by visualizing, being mentally prepared? What does that even look like?
Yeah, well, I feel like the 800 has changed and it's evolved. But I mean, as far as the mental aspect, I feel like I actually had to take some steps back in order to be sprung, you know, forward. And so just reflecting on all of the mental strengths and all the things, I wouldn't say that was always the strongest mentally, but I've been working on that and I've worked on that. And that way I can actually just show up and compete. You know, I feel like once you're going through track and field, you have your highs and your lows. It just kind of shakes you up a bit at times, but it's good to be shaken up sometimes because then you're able to reflect and then just continue to progress.
Well, the 800 is this weird event because it seems to be caught between the 1600 and the 400.
Yeah.
And you obviously, well, I'm not even gonna say obviously, I watch you run and it looks like speed's important to you. Mm-hmm. Is that something when you're training, you're like, speed's paramount. I want to make sure I have speed. I know I got to make sure I understand the parts of the race because that lactic's going to come in and I'm going to feel that. But when you're training, how important is speed training to you? And be real specific, because our audience, they grab onto that. Like, they understand the energy systems and stuff. You're like, hey, yeah, we're definitely going to be running lactic powers. We're going to be running speed endurance twos. We're going to be running real hard. Is that something that you focus on a lot, that maybe more than others?
Because
you don't run the mile.
No, but I have, though. Yeah, I have run the mile before. But I mean, speed is definitely something I feel like I naturally just have, like, as a gift. And so for me, it's always important to make sure that I'm developing that speed. When I was at Oregon, like, we trained with the sprinters, so it was natural to be able to just have the tools and the great expertise to develop my speed. So now that I'm with my coach now, you know, we do the endurance part, but I also try to be very sure that we're doing what it takes to continue to develop the speed, as well as just the speed endurance,
mm-hmm.
And making sure we're doing, you know, those type of workouts that can contribute to lactic acid, because that's what happens in a race. So you almost have to make sure that you're intentional about, like, making sure that workouts kind of model the races as well.
So you do feel that lactic acid.
Yeah, but it's good. You know, it's good if you work on it. Then you're not so, like, unfamiliar to it when you're in the race.
Oh, absolutely. when you're in a race, what kind of attitude towards you do you have towards the race? Are you trying to put yourself in a pack? Are you trying to, I'm going to lead out front? What kind of attitude do you have towards the 800?
It really depends on the race, because you kind of have to, I mean, you kind of have to focus on yourself while also considering who's in the race and their running styles. And so it truly just depends who's in the race.
It's a lot of time to think.
Right. But if you are intentional and then you're, you know, and you kind of plan ahead on what's the plan and what you're trying to aim for that day, then it becomes something that can prepare you just for the championship times.
You in the weight room a lot?
Yeah. I mean,
is that something? I mean, distance runners, and I'm using air quotes on a podcast, right?
Metal distance.
Yeah. Is that something that you guys even care about? You go in there?
Yeah, you gotta be able to have the means to really turn it up. For speed, you need power. So.
Did you hear that, Steve? She said you have to have triceps. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm just kidding.
You know, you gotta be able. I mean, for the endurance part, you have to have, like, the physical strength to support. You know, making sure that putting all the endurance miles in.
Did you always come out of high school, were you like a cross country girl? Were you a sprinter, soccer player? Why 800? I mean, that's not typically an event that people are like, yay, I get to do.
I've been running since I was 5. So
really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So I've done 8 since I was younger, but I did.
They put you in the 800 when you were that young?
Yeah.
Oh, that's child abuse. What are they doing?
Right. But it's an event that I was able to grow with and just really just have fun with and learn to really kind of respect, honestly. When you're in it and you're that young, you're just like, it's torture, you know, you're running around the laps and all this stuff, but it's really, if you can master it, then I feel like it's a good thing, because you become very versatile. You can do either or. You can do the mile, you can do the 4 and all the things, and so, yeah.
Wow, track that young. So you, Why'd your parents put you in track that young? Was there a club nearby? Was there something? Not a lot of people fall in love with track that early.
I know.
Unless they're my children. Yeah.
No, I did T-ball, and then T-ball season was over. And so my mom was like, okay, we got to put you in something else. And so that it was, you know, just a Houston summer, and they were running nearby. And so we just started going to the practices, and yeah, it's been like that ever since. But I didn't do cross country. I did volleyball and basketball in middle school and high school, so I was three sports all the way around.
Good for you. Yeah, it seems like those that find themselves most successful mm-hmm. are the ones that were very like had a wide berth in of different activities they did growing up. It was never just specializing in one thing.
Yeah, you get burnt out if you just specialize in one thing.
So, University of Oregon, I don't know why, it's not in my notes. Why'd you choose Oregon besides the obvious of, like, the facilities are unbelievable? Did you have other places you were considering, and why did Oregon stand out?
Yeah, so I was considering, when I went on my visits, I went to Texas, I went to Tennessee, I went to Clemson. And then other options I was considering was, like, Texas Tech and LSU. But it came down between, like, Clemson with Coach Elliott and then with Oregon. But, I mean, I've grown up in small environments, and so Eugene was perfect for me. I come from very, like, close families, so close and small environments are just better for me. And so, yeah, I chose Oregon because they had had success with 400, 800-meter runners.
Right.
You know, that gets a little more specific. You're not thrown into the 8:15 category. You have to be at a program and have a coach that actually knows how to train a 400, 800 meter runner.
Mm-hmm.
And so Oregon had experience with that and success with that with Laura Raisler. And so, yeah, it was great. And it was just a perfect fit.
Obviously, you know, and we're big fans of you. Mm-hmm. And I have to ask you, because as a coach, as a track fan, the one thing that everyone does, and you probably do too, and I'm going to ask you this, so I'm setting you up. What's the perfect 4x4? And I got you on it.
So what's the perfect 4x4?
Yeah, what's the perfect 4x4? Who's on it in what order?
For the U.S.?
Yeah. Oh, in Budapest, God. In like,
you oh know, my gosh, that's funny.
5 months.
That's funny. Well, thanks for being fans first. who's on it? Definitely a thing. Definitely Sydney. Who else?
What leg are you? You I second mean, leg?
What leg am I?
Yeah.
I could be second. I don't mind being second leg. I don't know. I'd put Talitha on there. Yeah, definitely Talitha. She's just been having such great success at Florida. So mm-hmm. I just feel like she's proven herself, and she's just, even though she's in college, she's so talented in 400. So I definitely have her on the relay as well.
Are you guys all fans of each other? Are you guys tight? Is the track community as close as we would love to believe it is?
It's small. It's small. And I feel like, I mean, it's tight in a different way because you just see the same people. So you just kind of it's nice because you just grow together.
Mm-hmm.
Like you grow, you see people in college, people you've watched, and then it just all comes together in one big pond.
You've talked about, and I know you even mentioned a little bit about having a strong support system off the
mm-hmm.
track.
Mm-hmm.
Is that something you're very intentional about? Like, what does your support system look like?
Well, it's my family, of course. My family and close friends that I've been friends with since I was like in high school and younger.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. So I'm very big on just relationships. Those closest to me being people that I've kind of that truly know me, and I feel like that's important because, I mean, if you get lost in the sauce or you just find yourself just kind of in a whirlwind, it's good to have those people closest to you that know you. That way they can just kind of reel you back in. But also my closest people, they're all believers. And I come from a family of believers, and having, you know, just a foundation of faith in God and everything, because that's my strength. Even if I hit, you know, just hard times, I feel like that's, at the end of the day, that my close circle and then my faith is what actually keeps me going to stay at it. And so it's important to be very selective and to have the closest people to you almost be like your rock as well.
I love it. I love hearing that a lot. In fact, I'm really glad you brought that up because game recognizes game. I totally get it.
Yeah.
And it sounds pretty common to have a support system, especially one that's like not of this world, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so moving on, like, what does it look like for you moving throughout your career? I mean, do you have plans and goals? Are you just trying to take it one race, one training session at a time? What does a professional athlete at your caliber look at their career and try to put a trajectory on it?
I definitely take it one at a time. Although I'm very like the type of person that always like look towards what's ahead, I never try to look too far ahead, but I also don't reflect too far in the past.
Mm-hmm.
And so I've been trying to practice actually being more aware and like being present. I feel like that's actually something that's kind of hard. But when I reflect and I revisit all the things I accomplished, I never carry those accomplishments into like the new season. It's always a reset. Even when I was in college, it was just one of those things where it's like, okay, I accomplished this, I was able to do this, but like, this is great, I enjoyed this moment, but the season has restarted, and so that was that. It's kind of one of the things I want to keep adding to.
Well, so many people are like, I am my PB. And then it's like year to year, it's a little different, right?
Yeah, it has to be. I feel like, I mean, track is a very humbling sport, and so I mean, while you can have the confidence and just the reassurance of knowing what you're capable of and what you've been able to do, I feel like it's almost like you have to reset and just have new goals. And because you grow, we grow year to year, like drastically. I was just telling a friend, I'm like, it's hard because the progression and the growth that we make as individuals is not on the same level of just someone that doesn't have to have the expectations we have.
Oh, yeah.
And so
you feel those expectations.
You do. And you put them on yourself. And so it's a lot for a year-to-year basis.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of good to just reset and just allow, you know, it's just everything to fall into place.
You've been I read a bunch of interviews and watched, and you're a leader. Is that something that you try to be? I mean, even in the podcast, we've just been talking for the last 15 minutes. You're talking about, you know, mentoring and leadership. Is that something that you just seek after, or that's just who you are?
I think it's just in me. I mean, my mom is a coach. My grandpa was a coach.
Oh, your mom's a coach too?
Yeah, she was a coach. She coached volleyball and basketball.
She never coached you?
Kind of. So what's funny is in high school, so my mom did field events. And my uncle's the only one that did track. But what's funny is in high school, I actually threw discus.
Get out of here.
I'm serious. And it's fun because it was this moment, although like my grandpa passed years ago, but it was this time where I was able to just really have my grandpa and my mom there helping me with discus. And I threw like 100.
It's so funny.
Yeah, I've thrown
Steve,
100.
Would you take someone on your high school team to throw 100? I would take a girl that could throw 100.
And my mom, you know, I think we're just an athletic family. And it's funny now because my sister throws and she's like, how did you throw 100? I'm like, I don't know. But I hold it over her head.
Yeah. As you should. That's what, yeah. Like you said, it's humbling. Oh, that's really funny. You threw. I am so glad you even said something like that. So last question. You're a fierce competitor. When you run aggressive. It's so fun to watch, by the way.
Thanks.
Why are you like that? Like, where does that come from? I'm just talking to you in person. We're not on a Zoom or anything.
Right.
You're humble. You're sincere. You're pretty soft-spoken, to be quite honest. That's not the way you run. Why? Like, how did you turn into that? Like, how can we help our athletes become that?
Yeah, it's something that just comes with time. And you want to make sure that it's authentic to you.
Mm.
I feel like in college, things were different. It was a different time. And so not just competitive-wise, I feel like it was different. But once I transitioned into pro and all the things and you have the ups and the downs, I think I got shaken up a bit. So it's exciting. I'm looking forward to getting back to that same kind of inner confidence that I once had, because I feel like it got kind of shaken up throughout time. But confidence is something that you have to acquire. Some people say, you know, you fake it till you make it, but it's honestly one of the hardest things to really develop, because it's not something someone can teach you. It's right. Something you actually have to have. But once you do get it, and using races, and like for me, taking every positive from just like progression, like that's been my biggest inner reassurance. It's like knowing I'm progressing year to year, whether it's, okay, even to the simplest, like if I got fifth at a meet last year and I got fourth at that same meet this year, at least I'm progressing. I'm going in the right direction. Because what people don't understand is that while you're trying to build up to that moment, that huge race, that time, that PB, whatever it is, you have to go through the little things to get there.
Right.
And if you don't find the positives in those, then you can get really discouraged and it can really affect you. And so just use those positive little wins, whether it's in practice, and carry that, you know, that way you just keep going. Like, you have to just keep going. That's the biggest thing.
You sound like a coach. That's what you sound like. You sound
I got to coach myself.
Oh my gosh, yeah. Well, when this is all done, you better be coaching somewhere. And then actually, you know, 15 years when you're, right. When you're done. It was so good just to sit down and talk with you.
Yeah,
you're such
great.
A delight to talk to. This has been really fun. And preparing for this, I literally had all these questions and I was like, I wonder where this is going to go. And you just took it in all these different directions. It's so so easy to do a podcast with you.
Oh, thank you.
So how can we get in contact with you more? Where can we follow? Like we said, we're fans.
Yeah.
So help us like follow your journey.
Yeah, I think it's just social media. Yeah, and then I try to, I don't know, for me, I haven't been running. I think I share a lot of just like life and just enjoyment like off the track, but once I am in season I post a lot of more track things. Like I'll post like, oh, this meet is coming up, or
okay.
So that's when I'll normally kind of post. I think the excitement with a lot of my followers is when I'm in championship season and it's a round thing. So yeah, that'll be a good time to hop on before then, leading up to it.
They will. On trackandfield.com, this is the podcast. We are in Vegas.
Yeah.
Talking to a person live. It's a podcast, but we're on remote talking to someone that's a real person, not a Zoom call. So on trackfield.com and relaybatons.com. Stick around. Steve, our CEO, who's sitting next to me and producing this thing with all this cool equipment. Look at this. He is going to let you know how to get in contact with them more on social media because, frankly, they're the best company in the world because I get to work with them and I choose to. It's my choice. Steve, take us away. So then he's going to make us sound super good in post-production.
How cool. This is so fun.
Thanks to our guest, Raven Rodgers, for joining us live at Caesars Palace in Vegas on this week's On Track and Field podcast. The On Track and Field podcast is powered by RelayBatons.com. Custom engraved and meet and competition legal relay batons, water bottles and tumblers. Great for team branding, fundraisers, meet awards and coaches gifts. And by OnTrackAndField.com. Cross country and track's one-stop source for everything you need for a successful season. Competition gear, spikes, training equipment, and shoes. OnTrackAndField.com has everything you need. And you can save up to 50% when you use the word Track Talk at checkout. Some exclusions apply. And make sure to check out our new website, OnTrackRunning.com, your new source for competition and training shoes. Featuring Saucony, Brooks, On Running, New Balance, Asics, and Hoka shoes and spikes. OnTrackRunning.com. And make sure to follow us on our socials. At On Track, the letter N, Field. At On Track and Field on Twitter and the Gram.